They just forgot one aspect of the dad life, the most important part of the dad life. When the dad gets on his knees and lifts up his hands to God and cries out for his family, right? Amen. That's what a real dad does. Hey, happy Father's Day. All the dads, would you mind standing up? We want to give you a God bless you. Come on, all the dads. Happy Father's Day. Come on, give it up for the dads. It's a dad's life. Yeah, how many dads cry at Disney movies? Oh, Lord. And then look at, he's crying. That's funny, because that's what I do. I'm like, I'm not crying. I'm not crying. Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Good to see you. And I don't know about you, but I was thinking of the song the other day. Tina said, I love you. And all of a sudden, it came into my mind. I said, love, love you too. You know I love you. I'll always be true. So please love me too. I just came into my mind. I don't know why. It just did. So I sang it to her. And she just kind of rolled her eyes and said, corny. Maybe you can think of an old song that you really like. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I sparked your memory or something. Maybe, you know, stop. Yeah, see, you all know. I don't even have to sing the song. You already know it. I don't know what your favorite tune is, but I really think we ought to be friendly with one another. Come on, get up on your feet. Tell somebody what your favorite oldie is. Come on. Come on, you can do it. Come on, get up on your feet. Go tell somebody. You can even sing it to them. Introduce yourself. Say, hey, welcome to Church on the North Coast. I'm glad you're here. I'm not going to sing to you. But I just want you to know it's going to be all right. Good to see you guys. Hi, Sherry. Praying for Josh. Amen. Oh, look at them, look at them. They're dancing over there. Wow. That's great. I love it. Don't you love it? You got to love it. Wow. Actually, I didn't know you'd be so enthusiastic about that. That's pretty good. Y'all got some rock and roll in your past, huh? Some Motown, some R&B, whatever. That's great. T and I are glad that you're here. We're just rejoicing. We've been praying, and just a couple of quick testimonies. Marcia just gave us word. Her daughter has been going through a cancer battle. And I'm not sure what kind of cancer it was, past tense, because she said she just got a word from the doctor and said cancer is gone. Isn't that great? I don't know what kind of cancer it was. It's gone. Then another little girl, she's 11 years old. Since she's been two, she had some kind of neurological disorder. I'm not sure what it was. And they told me, but I didn't remember the definition of it. Been going to Cleveland Clinic over the years, and it so affected her that her feet would not be flat on the floor. Her feet are kind of deformed and drawn up as a result, and they attributed it to some neurological problem. And they've been diagnosing it for the last 9 years. As of recent, going back to the clinic and some of the specialists, the top five doctors in the world have seen her. The chief of this particular area of study finally concluded the fact, we have run all the tests, we know it was there, we don't understand why, but it's not here now. Your daughter is completely healed. Isn't that great? That's number two. But her feet are still deformed. But they said the disease is not in her body. It is gone. So they said, we think we can take her to surgery and fix this. It'd be kind of like a couple days in the hospital and fix those feet, and she would be absolutely normal. So, you know, let's just come in agreement that the fix will be in Jesus. And when she goes for the surgery, you know, she'll kind of walk flat-footed, right? But it's just great to hear what God is doing. There's been many other testimonies, but we thank God for it. Yes, sir. cancer-free 3.5 years. That's awesome, man. Say again. Albert, we give God praise for your testimony. Amen. He's a healing Jesus. Amen. Well, if you don't know him, you ought to know him by the end of the day because, you know, you just might need him. Hey, I've got a great message for you today. I've titled it basically Digging Ditches, a job nobody wants to do, but a necessity in order to see the multidimensional miracle. And I really believe that's the word God gave me. He said, I know the people have been believing me for miracles, but I want to up the ante a little bit. I want to take them to the next level, and I want to introduce them to multidimensional miracles. One miracle impacting two different dimensions at the same time. I said, God, can you do that? He said, is there anything too hard for me? I said, well, of course there's not, God, but we haven't even seen a lot of miracles. We've seen some healings. He said, well, you about better get ready. I want you to declare over the people of God a flood watch is in effect. And God is wanting to pour out a Holy Ghost wave of spirit upon those that are hungry and desiring from him. And you might as well get ready because your life and my life is about to change. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Faith Camp 2014. We're going to take a look at 2 Kings chapter 3. We're going to look at just a couple of verses. It's a great story in the Bible. It's about three kings that came together, and as a result, God released a multidimensional miracle in the middle of all of their trouble. 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16, and he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. Verse 17, for thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Would you repeat that with me, please? Come on. One more time. You shall not Now, God, you're messing with me because, you know, in order to fill a ditch with water, you got to have wind and you got to have rain. But I just want to introduce you to a God that doesn't need any natural processes to get to you what you have need of this morning. If you can just get your faith up just a little bit, you're going to begin to see God's miraculous power work outside and beyond the parameters of the natural element. This is the kind of God life that he's calling to us to, and we're going to begin to see these multidimensional miracles. Watch this. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. Say that with me. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. One more time. You know, God had to throw that in there because when he said he was going to fill the valley with ditches, but then he said, oh, wait a minute, now no wind and no rain. Our minds suddenly are challenged. Well, but then how are you going to do this, God? If you're not going to use wind and rain, this can't be done. And then God said, I'm going to do it, and I want you to know this is a simple matter with me. For you, it would be impossible, but with me, I can do this real easy. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew said it is a trifle thing. That's how you can interpret it. It is a trifle thing. It is a trite thing. God said, I'm going to do this thing for you. I'm not going to use the natural processes. I'm not going to use circumstances. I'm going to just bypass all of the normal routine to bring rain into a ditch. And I'm going to show you how powerful I am. Matter of fact, it is so easy for me, I could do it in my sleep if I slept. But God never sleeps, neither does he slumber, right? All right, so we see the scripture. It says, and this is a simple matter inside of the Lord. And he will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. See, some of you came here today, and you may find yourselves in a valley. Maybe a valley of decision. Maybe a valley of trouble. Maybe a valley of regret. Maybe you are here with sickness in your body, or you've got trouble in your marriage, or situations that seem to be insurmountable. Well, you've come to the right place. Some of us have come here feeling empty, as though that we've given everything we've got to give, and you know what? I just don't have anything left. And you've come to the right place as well. Because I want to make this statement, and I'll keep repeating it throughout the morning as we share for a few minutes on this scripture. God specializes in filling empty places. So if you've come here with empty, hallelujah. This is the gas station, and the gas is on Him. All right? God wants to fill us up to overflowing. Just like the next chapter in chapter 4, remember the widow woman who needed a miracle? He said in chapter 4 and verse 3, go borrow vessels from everywhere. Go to your neighbors, but make sure they're empty and bring them back to me. He said, and don't bring just a few. I want you to get as many as you can possibly get, because I'm about to do something for you that I specialize in. You bring them empty, I'll fill them up. See, sometimes we have to bring our emptiness to God in order to see the miraculous manifest. It's all right if you're feeling empty. It's all right if you're feeling as though you're in a valley. Listen to me. That is the posture to be filled to overflowing by God. Sometimes we feel like our emotions are just raveled. Sometimes we feel as though there's no way out. We're backed up into a corner. Those are the moments. Those are the moments when God wants to do something only He can do. And let me tell you something. It is an easy thing for God to do it. All right? So look at this with me, please. The prophet said, make certain they are empty. Say this with me. Empty?
Empty.
Makes the miracle.
Makes the miracle.
See, that's what we've got to begin to believe. And we can get our mind set on the fact that I don't need anything to create something. I don't have to start with money to have money. I don't have to start with wellness to have healing. I don't have to start with a little bit of encouragement to walk in great joy. You see, I can be completely empty, come in contact with God, and suddenly I can walk out joy-filled. I can walk out totally healed. I can walk out with great encouragement, because God is able to fill empty places in our lives. Now, listen to this. This story is pretty interesting. There's actually three kings involved. There's the king Jehoram. He is the king of northern Israel. Now, if you're not real familiar with history of Israel, Israel split into two different nations. 10 tribes became northern Israel. The southern tribe was Judah. The king over Judah was Jehoshaphat. Maybe you've heard of him before. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. The king of Israel, they were kind of backslidden. Well, not kind of. They were backslidden. And the king there was Jehoram, okay? So Jehoram had ruled over the Moabites for years. The Moabites were serving Jehoram, but then they rebelled. And they said, we're not serving you anymore. So Jehoram said, oh yeah, I'm going to wage war against you, and I'm going to make you serve me. So Jehoram sends a message to Jehoshaphat and said, would you join in this campaign of war against the Moabites? And Jehoshaphat said, yes. Now, when you say yes to an unequally yoked relationship, you give up home field advantage. You never want to lose the first game of the playoffs. Not a good idea. Because you lose home field advantage. So Jehoshaphat lost home field advantage and said yes to Jehoram. Now watch this. Jehoram, Jehoshaphat, and now Edom, or Esau rather, they come together as a threesome to fight Moab. Interestingly, Jehoshaphat gives up home field advantage, allies himself with an unequally yoked partner, then he goes by the way of the wilderness of Esau. Now, that's really important in this text, and you can read them later. I'm not going to try to go through line by line, and we'd be here 3 hours. You don't want to be here 3 hours. I don't want to be here 3 hours. But anyway, in the text, it says that they went by the way of the wilderness of Esau. That's interesting to note. The Holy Spirit is saying, number one, don't give up home field advantage. Number two, don't become unequally yoked. And number three, don't go by the way of no covenant. Esau gave his birthright up. So now they're in a campaign militarily taking the way of no covenant. They're taking the way of despising their birthright. They are not acknowledging God in this campaign. Now this is the craziest story when you begin to think about it, because the scripture says within 7 days, they start turning on each other. Jehoram is mad at Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat's mad at Esau, and Esau's mad at Jehoram. Why? Because they ran out of water. Now, if you're going to go to battle and you're in this military campaign, somebody needed to bring the water. You could have bows and you could have arrows and you could have cannons and you could have guns. But if you don't have water, guess what? You're still defeated. So here they are in this desert and they're yelling at each other. You can just picture it the way it happens. You know, we all like to play the blame game, don't we? You know, it's like, did you bring the water? No, how do you bring the water, man? I thought you was bringing the water. Well, how do you bring the water? That was your job. How come you didn't bring the water? Well, I don't know. Somebody should have brought the water. He should have brought the water. Wait a minute. Don't get me in on this thing. You're the guys that came and asked me to join this campaign. I thought you had the water. So everybody's blaming somebody else for not doing what they all should have done. You know, we're real good at pointing fingers. We're real good at blaming other people for our problems. And that's what Jehoram was doing. That's what the Edom was doing. But Jehoshaphat said, wait a minute. Let's get a word from God about this. Now that's really important to pick up the story at that point. Because it tells us that God specializes in filling empty places. Sometimes we give up home field advantage. Sometimes we ally ourselves with unequally yoked relationships. Sometimes we despise our covenant and go our own way, and God still is ready to give us a word that'll turn our circumstance around. And this morning, you are not too far gone. God is not mad at you. God has not despised you or forsaken you. He is ready to give you a word right now that will change your situation forever. How many believe that? Say amen. All right, here we go. Watch what happens. So the prophet's solution, he comes up and he said, I got a word from the Lord. Now, before I give you the word that the prophet got, the prophet said, before I can get a prophetic word from God, I need some worship. If you look in the context of the story, he said, bring me a minstrel to play so I can get in touch with the Holy Spirit. And I can get ushered into the presence of God because I need to get a word for you, but I need to be in an atmosphere of expectancy. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to throw this out. I believe that worship is absolutely vital for the body of Christ. It is not intermission. It's not so we're waiting for you to get here, so you come in late and say, well, they're still singing. It's going to be all right. No, the prophet understood that in that atmosphere of worship and intimacy with God is a release of the prophetic. Now, let me warn you. Sometimes in that atmosphere, you're going to get a word from God that you're not going to like. So the prophet gets a word. Dig a ditch. Excuse me? Dig a ditch. What? We say dig a ditch and God will fill it. Oh, great. Jehoshaphat, that's the prophetic word, dig a ditch. Do you know it's 104 degrees out here? Do you know we're in the desert? Do you see the vultures flying over us? Do you understand we don't have any water at all? And you're wanting me to expend all my energy to dig a ditch when there's no water down here? Sometimes the prophetic word of God doesn't make logical sense. But let me back up. God said, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it apart from wind and rain. All I need is an empty place. If you'll give me an empty place, I'll fill it. Because I specialize in bringing a multidimensional miracle to empty places. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Because there's a lot of time I get up in the morning and I say, God, I don't know. I don't have anything to give. Or I go throughout the day and I feel beat up, or I feel despised, or I feel rejected, or I feel like I'm being beaten down. I say, God, I don't have anything. I just come to you empty. He goes, great. I specialize in filling empty places. Amen. I love that, man. I mean, that's just amazing to me. God can't fill what hasn't been dug out. Now, recently, we've had some encounters with the dentist. I don't want to give away all of Tina's misery, but she had 3 root canals in 2 weeks. It was bad. She's in the chair 15 and a half hours with her mouth open. And they're drilling through the teeth, you know, and get that root out. And then after they're done, you got a hole in your tooth and you have to go get it filled. Well, the specialist had to take the root out. And then you have to go back to the other dentist so they can fill it up and put whatever they have to put into it. I don't know if you've ever been to a dentist, and there's this certain sound that they use that just brings, I don't know, I just don't like the sound. It's called the drill bit. Do you ever hear that? You know, and they come for your mouth. And I'm thinking, why do you have to use that? And he said, I have to dig out the cavity in order to fill it. I'm thinking, wait a minute, with all this technology, can't you just put a glaze around that cavity and conceal it and hold it right there and just forget it? No, we have to dig it out, and then I can feel it. You may be in the digging out process right now, and it's pretty uncomfortable, and you're wondering, God, why do I have to dig this out of my life? He said, the only way that I could fill you with all the blessing and promise that I have is if you'll make room for me. Because God specializes in what? Filling empty places. So that's what happens in our life. 2 Kings 3 and verse 17 says, the flood of blessing that you are about to receive will not come via natural means. Let me say this to Northeastern Ohio. Let me say this to church on the North Coast. Let me say this to your family. Let me say this to you. The blessing of God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming in this last day will not come via natural processes. It will not be something that we can observe and go, well, there it is. There it is. No, God said, I don't need wind and I don't need rain. But when you get up in the morning, that which you have created capacity for me is going to be filled with a multidimensional miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, all God wants us to do is pick up the shovel. Get the pick out of the tool barn and start making room for God. You say, well, what would that be? Well, number one for most men is pride. Let's dig out some pride. Let's get the drill bit going. Let's get that hammer going. Let's do what we have to do for that pride that's in our life that says we don't need anybody's help. We don't need God. I don't need to do this. Let's dig that out. Because God says I can only fill a place that's been emptied. You know, God can do the multidimensional miracle, but you and I are the ones that have to dig out the pride. Maybe the regret. Maybe the bitterness. Maybe the unforgiveness. Maybe that disappointment. We all have those things in our life. But what he's saying is to this situation is simply, if you'll just dig it out, I'll fill it. We can't keep coming back and forth to church with all of these hard places in our life. Sometimes we just have to realize I've got to let go and let my God take over. Because digging a ditch is creating a place for God in every area of my life, no matter where that is. See, sometimes we've got to get God's perspectives on the matter. Digging is an act of expectancy. If you'll start working on your pride, or you'll start working on your prejudice, or you'll start working on your unforgiveness or hatred, if you say, I've got to get these things out of my life, that creates an expectancy. Because I've got to tell you right now, God specializes in filling empty places. I want you to remember that, because God can't fill which has not been dug out. And if we're walking around with religious pride, self-exaltation, any kind of issue in our life of self-reliance, God can't get in. But he's looking for men and women who will empty themselves and allow him to fill them. Listen to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Now, if you don't hear anything else this morning, please hear this verse. Please write this down. Really, really hone in on this. Because in the process of creating a multi-dimensional miracle, our faith will be tested. Not only to initiate the dig, taking that foot and pounding that shovel into the turf and removing that soil and creating a channel for God to fill. That's difficult, especially when you have no water. You're thirsty, you're tired, you've been through this for many, many years. You're thinking, God, I can't keep doing this. Now we're going to be tested there. But here's the biggest test between the ditch and the multidimensional miracle. It's found in this scripture, and it's called negativity. Are you ready? Look at it. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. And they marched on that roundabout route 7 days. And there was no water for the army, nor for the animals that followed them. Look at the next verse. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the land of Moab." The king of Israel, the backslidden king, the king of which Jehoshaphat allied himself in an unequal level. The king now who is leading the charge against Moab begins to proclaim to everybody that's connected to him, "God brought us out here to punish us. God brought us out here to defeat us and to destroy us." The very thing that you and I have to do while we're digging a ditch is saying, "I don't know how he's going to do it. There won't be wind and there won't be rain. Matter of fact, I don't need any natural processes, but I know my God is not a God that he should lie." What are you doing there, boy? "I'm digging a ditch." What do you mean you're digging a ditch? "I'm creating an empty place for God, for his supernatural wave of blessing to fill in my life that is going to be an awesome thing." It's like Noah. "Noah, why are you building that ark? It had never rained." "Oh, it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. God told me so. That's why I'm building this ark. And we're going to float right on out of here." Nobody believed him until it began to rain, until the floodwaters began to rise. Listen, in the middle of your miracle anticipation, resist King Jehoram's words of negativity, that this is futile, that this doesn't work. See, this is one of the dangers of the extreme grace teaching that is sweeping the church. You don't have to read the Old Testament. You don't have to pray anymore. You don't have to ask God to forgive you of any wrong. You know, it's just all by grace. You're already forgiven. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes God wants to see, how bad do you really want it? Do you really have faith in me? Do you believe that even if it's not raining and there's no wind blowing, that I could still fill what you're giving capacity to me to fill? Do you believe that God still called us as a priesthood, that we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices of thanksgiving by the fruit of our lips, offering praise unto him? You and I offer prayers of intercession. We are still engaged. I know this, that during the middle of the dig, all the negativity is going to begin to surface around me. And people are going to laugh at me. They're going to mock me. They're going to scorn me. And man, I've even experienced some of that in the last 35, 40 years of ministry. People think, "Why are you doing that? Why don't you just stop? Why don't you quit? Why don't you, you can't keep doing that. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to happen." And all I do is say, "Look, I may have calluses on both hands. I'll just go to the hardware store and get myself another pair of gloves. As for me and my house, we're going to keep on digging. I don't care how foolish I look. I don't care how I don't fit into your thinking. I don't care whether or not your church believes in my church or you believe that I'm right or I'm wrong. I'm just keeping on digging because I know that God said, if you dig a ditch, I'll fill it." Come on, look at somebody and say, "God specializes in filling empty places." Some of us come to church, you know, and we are so angry. We are disappointed. We have heartaches. We have bad breaks in the past. It's like, you know, before I was serving God, I was doing great. I gave my life to Jesus, and now my life is like terrible. I have one problem after another. I have one situation after another. And, you know, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Sometimes we just have to dig a ditch and watch God do what only God can do. Because some of us are waiting until things get better. Let me tell you something. Things don't get better when you just stand there. "Well, I believe it for 2015. Yep, 2015 is my year. I believe I'm blessed and not stressed. 2015 is my year for breakthrough. Whoop, whoop." You said that about 2014. You said that about 2013. You said 2012 was the worst year of your life. And in 2011, you were saying, "I'm blessed in 2012. I'm blessed in 2012. And the problem is you were broke, disgusted. You were all left out and left behind. And you think, "God, where are you?" God just doesn't fix things. Now you say, "Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me this is a relationship of works?" Show me your faith, I'll show you my works. In other words, listen, I'm going to dig a capacity for God. And I know this, that if I make room for God, He's going to fill it. Yes, He will. See, some of us have got to change our schedules. Some of us have got to get more God time in our day. Less TV time. More God time, less sports time. More God time, less gossip time. Did I say gossip? Well, whatever. More God time, less whatever time. And when we do that, He fills it. He does that. He fills it. So see, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm asking you to do today is dig right where you are. Don't wait for things to get better. Say, God, listen, my life right now on a scale of 1 to 10 is about negative 5. But I know this, that you're not a God that you should lie. And I'm going to tell you right now, God, I'm heading to my tool shed and I'm getting a shovel and I'm getting a pick and I'm going to dig a ditch. And Father, based on your word, I believe that you're going to fill it. And I believe that you're going to give me a multidimensional miracle. I believe that you, oh God, specialize in filling empty places. How many will believe that with me? All right, listen to this. Here's what happens. You see, we begin to dig in a desert under the scorching heat, no water to drink, no natural evidence that God's doing anything. But when you find yourself in a rut, everybody knows what a rut is, right? It's a grave with two open ends. That's what it is. And some of us have been living in them all our lives and blaming God for it. We have this fantasy camp mentality. If I just go to church enough, if I just give my money enough, if I just pray enough. All those things are good, ladies and gentlemen, but what God's doing is saying this, give me some capacity. Open up your mind, open up your heart to me. Get that pride out, get that religion out, get that unforgiveness out. Reconcile that and watch me fill it just as soon as you do it. See, when you find yourself in a rut, you got to dig. Some of us have died at age 25. I read this the other day. But you weren't buried until you're going to be 80. And we live a life of just living in an open-end grave. Not expecting, not believing, not seeing multidimensional miracles. I thought if I'm going to go through this thing and just be an average, normal Christian and experience nothing, I might as well just go all the way and become a radical, ditch-digging Christian who believes that God doesn't need rain and doesn't need wind, and He can fill the ditch. I don't know how God's going to do it for you, but I know how He did it for Jehoshaphat. I know how He did it for those that walk in covenant. You and I need to expect this multi-purpose and multi-dimensional miracle. Because God fills ditches with water and defeats the enemy at the same time. Because the Bible said in Isaiah 59, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will what? Raise up a standard against him. So I'm going to just make a prophetic proclamation over you. May I do that? It's out of Exodus 34 and 10, and I'm just proclaiming this. I've been doing it all week, but I'm going to do it now that you're here. And this is what the Bible said. Behold, I make a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing I will do with you. So I just declare that over you. God is about to show Himself strong in your life. And I'm telling you right now, you better get ready because God is about to do something, an awesome thing that is going to happen in your life. And all the people around your life are going to go, oh my gosh, that had to be God because I know you and you're not capable of that. That's the prophetic word of what He wants to release in this hour. See, right where you are. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. 2 Kings chapter 4, the oil continued to flow until when? She had no more empty vessels. That's a truth right there. That's a Selah moment. The oil stopped when there was no more capacity. I said, God, I don't ever want to be so full of myself. Past, regret, ideas, religion, that there's no more room for the flow of the Holy Spirit. I want to stay empty. I realize that without Christ, I am nothing. I don't want to become even prideful of the fact that I'm saved. I want to walk humbly before the Lord and realize that I want the flow of oil to continue. I didn't write this. I wish I would have. But you have to be careful. Never become intoxicated on the circumstances that you find yourself in. If you continue to drink from the circumstance that you're in today, you'll become so inebriated, you'll not even hear the voice of God. You'll miss the move of God, the directive of God, because of your drunkenness on the circumstance that has been force-feeding you and keeping you alienated from the voice of God. I want to have you quote this next slide with me when it says, and when the enemy attacks, God reacts. Say that with me. When the enemy attacks, God reacts. There's never a time that the enemy attacks you that God does not react for you. Because he has defeated him and made an open show of him. So when the enemy attacks, God reacts. Now what I need to do is I need to connect to his reaction. And all I need to do is respond to creating capacity for God. Just give some openness for God. Because when I do that, he's going to fill it. Because this battle doesn't belong to you or me. It belongs to the Lord. And how many know that on record, God has never lost a battle? Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Come on, praise him right there. God has never lost a battle. Hallelujah. So you and I are under a flood warning. A wave of God's favor is heading toward you right now. I don't know about you, but I can't use just wave of favors. I need a tsunami. God, I don't want to be, you know, hoggish here, but, you know, an 8-footer is just not going to crack it for me, baby. I need a tsunami. I need a 100-foot wave coming in unstoppable and just literally chains and transforms the entire landscaping of my life. And I just want to issue a warning to you that there is a tsunami warning heading your way. A tsunami warning of God's blessing. A tsunami warning of God's provision. So in the morning, they wake up. The water has filled the ditches. Amazing. The enemy, now they're drinking. One dimension of the miracle. Their animals are drinking. Everybody is satisfied. One dimensional of the miracle. Now the enemy, Moabites, look down into the valley and see a valley full of blood. God fills it with water. The enemy sees it as blood. It's an amazing thing, a multidimensional miracle. To covenant people, it was provision. To non-covenant, it was a lure to come in and be conquered. They said, look, the Moabites said, look, the Edomites, the Israel and southern Israel have battled over who forgot to bring the water, and they killed each other. Let's go down and get the spoil. So God fills the ditches with water. All of them are saved. The enemy sees it as blood, walks right into the trap, didn't bring their archery equipment, didn't bring a gun, didn't bring any weaponry whatsoever. They were just going to go with their sacks and pick up all the spoil of the dead corpses of those three nations. So they walk into the camp, and Israel said, the Lord has given the enemy into our hands. And they slaughtered them right there. Multidimensional miracle. If you can believe God for water in a ditch, can you believe God for a supernatural victory over an enemy who thought he could never be defeated? You see what I mean? If you'll just make capacity for God, not only will you have your need met, but you're going to be launched into another level of the miraculous that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, all that God has prepared for those who love him. I'm declaring over you today, tsunami blessing, a tsunami healings, tsunami deliverances, tsunami provision, because our God is a good God and he's able to defeat every enemy. If you're here this morning and you've given up home field advantage, if you're here this morning and you've allied yourself unequally with that which you should not be in covenant with, maybe today you have decided that Digging a ditch was ridiculous. This faith thing is just too much. I can't go that route. Listen, God's not mad. He's not angry. He's giving us opportunity. He's saying, if you'll come out of that unequally yoked relationship, if you right now will just embrace my word and dig a ditch, give me more capacity for me. Let me fill your life more than you've ever dreamed before. If you'll just do that, I promise you I'll fill it. And not only that, but I've got a miracle tucked away in my back pocket that I'm going to release for you that you would not even imagine should I told you. God has good things available for those of us who love him. Can I give you one more scripture?
Yes.
All right. For all 18 of you, I'm going to give it to you. To the rest of you, you are dismissed. Amen. Job, look at it, 26 verse 7. This is a powerful verse. Powerful verse. He tells us here, he stretches out the north. Now, the north is symbolic for God's dwelling, his rulership, his throne, his place of residency. Think about this. God stretches out the north over what? Empty space. God doesn't need anything to create something. God specializes in establishing his rulership over empty places. God, I don't have anything to give. God, I don't know that I can do anything with this situation. God, I just don't have an answer. Lord, I just don't know. I've tried everything. Great. Then get out of the way. I'm about to stretch out my dwelling, my rulership over that nothingness in your life. Then he said this. He hangs the earth on what?
Nothing.
He hangs the earth on nothing. Think about it. God takes the whole world. And he said, let's see. Oh, there's nothing. I think I'll hang it there. You don't have to have all the right answers, all the best education, all the intelligence, all the networking, all of the things that this world says you have to succeed. As a matter of fact, if you'll just come to God with nothing, he'll put the world on your hook and he'll hang it there for everybody to see. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. Look what the Lord has done. Amen and amen. Maybe you came to church this morning feeling empty. You're in the right place. God's got another hook. And he's got another world to create. Maybe you came here today and you say, you know what, I just want to give God more capacity in my life. Maybe you came here out of answers, wondering what your future is going to be like. Stop looking for the wind. Stop looking for the rain. You know what that tells me? Just because they say you can't get the permit doesn't mean you're not going to build it. Just because they say there's no cure, that you're going to die from this disease, doesn't mean that you're not going to receive a healing. Just because they say you can't do this or go here, doesn't mean that God says, watch this. Just get capacity going in your life and I'll fill it. And not only will I fill it, but it'll be multidimensional. We don't have to live under the failures and the mistakes of our past in our present. And we don't have to allow them to rule and delegate our future and design our path of where we go. Because God doesn't need wind and God doesn't need rain. Say that with me. God doesn't need wind and God doesn't need rain. Now I want you to say it again, but this time as if you really believe it. I want you to lift up your voices and I want you to say it. Say, Pastor, why are you making me say this? I feel so stupid saying this. I feel so dumb saying it. That's exactly why I want you to say it. All right, are you ready? Come on. God doesn't need wind and God doesn't need rain. All he needs is somebody to dig a ditch. And that somebody can be you this morning. Are you ready to do it? I'm ready to do it. Anybody can dig a ditch. Anybody can dig a ditch. Right? That's why God used the analogy. They say, well, all you're going to do is be a ditch digger all your life. Is that what you want to do? Yeah. It's the minimal. It's the bottom rung. God said, I don't need much. Just give me a little bit of room. Father, right now in this place this afternoon, I know there are empty hearts here. I've come to you many times with an empty heart. Lord, I know that there are people here today who feel as though that they've been unequally yoked or have forsaken covenant, feel so disqualified. But Lord, even in the middle of all of that mess, Jehoshaphat knew enough to get a word from you. And I want to stop right there in this prayer, and I want to tell you, just like Jehoshaphat, you knew enough you needed to be in church today to get a word from God, and God gave you that word. This isn't just another sermon in a series. This is a word for a right now God in a right now situation for you and for me. So I want you to take that word as if God gave it to you specifically. And then after you've gotten that word, I want you to start making room for Him. So right now in the next 10 seconds, 15 seconds, just make a covenant with God that you're going to make more room for Him. You're going to create more capacity for God. Father, I'm going to get rid of this pride. I want you to take it out of my life, this unforgiveness, this hatred, this sense of failure, this betrayal. Father, this sense of inadequacy. God, I want it out of my life. I'm going to get that out, and I want to create a channel for you. I bring you my life today. It's just an empty vessel. But Father, just like the widow woman that was about to eat her last meal and die, just like those, oh God, who came with faith and said, here's my vessels, I've got all that I have, and the oil began to flow. Father, let the oil begin to flow in the lives of your church. Let it begin to flow in the lives of the discouraged, in the lives of the depressed, the lives in those, oh God, who've been disenfranchised, disadvantaged. Father, those that have been disgusted, those that have been divorced from the presence of God, those today, God, with a divided heart, you can speak to them. Holy Spirit, would you begin to minister all over this room right now? We need you, God. We need you to fill our cup. We lift it up. We lift it up, God. We say, fill our cup. God, I give you my emptiness, and I ask you to fill it. And now, Lord, I'm expecting a multi-dimensional miracle in my life. With our heads bowed, you say, Pastor, that's me this morning. I've come here feeling void, feeling empty, feeling of no hope, no help, no happiness. I need God. I need the Holy Spirit. Pray for me. Man, if that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. I just want you to acknowledge your need for that prayer. Can you hold your hand up high enough that I could see it? And I'll pray for you. God bless you. You in the back, and you there, and you there. 3, 4, 5, 6 in the back. 7, 8, 9, 10. 3, 4, 7, 8 over there. I just lost count. I just lost count. But there are many here today feeling that way. But I want you to know, I want you to listen to me. God doesn't need wind. Look at me, please. God doesn't need wind. God doesn't need rain. Stop looking for the right adjustment, right network, right relationship, right education, right break. You don't need the right break. You need the right God. You got what I'm saying? And God has a plan for your life. All He wants you to do is create capacity for Him. Are you ready to do it? Are you ready to do it? Those of you that raise your hand, may I ask you to do something? May I ask you to stand just for a minute? Just in faith, right where you are, stand. All right, just right where you are, stand. Amen. 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 God sees you. God sees you. Now, this word this morning is for you. It's for us as well. It's for every father here. See, really, Father's Day is all about ditch digging. Dad, just dig capacity. Dig more capacity for God. You can be seated. Thank you. The song said, you provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. Would you just close your eyes with me? Let's sing that and worship the Lord just for a minute. Then we're going to pray and we'll dismiss you. Someone going to sing it? Anybody know it? You don't know? Kristen's going to sing it? Okay.
You provide the fire. now provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit.
Just put an inviting smile on your face and let's be prepared to grab hold of the shovel and dig with people here in a minute in prayer. And believe God that they're going to be filled with a multi-dimensional miracle. God is able. God is able. And when we stand, I'm going to ask those of you that earlier stood to come out from where you are and join with one of these and say, you know what? I'm going to dig that ditch. I just need you to help me in prayer. And I'm going to believe God that He's going to fill my life. Okay? That's all you have to do. We want to agree with you. We just want to agree with you in prayer. So let's stand together and come. If you're coming for prayer, go ahead and sing it one more time. We want to say, live right, love everybody, pray hard. Don't forget Wednesday night. We've been in a tremendous series. I'll be preaching again. Love to have you here. It's going to be awesome. But happy Father's Day. Come for prayer.